It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Insight on this chilly Wednesday before Christmas evening. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Very good. And we welcome into studio. We can almost honestly say there's a new sheriff in town.
Just about, right?
Yep. It's getting close.
That's right.
And we'd like to welcome into studio the future sheriff of Mercer County, Mr. Doug Timmerman.
There you go. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. I had a conversation with Sheriff Gray this morning and told him, I said, boy, we're getting close. It's like 19 days. And he quickly reminded me it was only 18 days. So I think he's got the countdown going on as well.
He's counting it down.
That's right.
So I tell you what, you mentioned that. And so explain the process, you know, of changing sheriff. Like, when does that happen? You know, I think everybody thinks January 1st, it all changes over, but that's not necessarily the case, right?
That is not. So I'm glad you asked that, Jack, because every office holder has a certain date that their office requires them to change. Like, I think Brian Miller, who's going to be our new commissioner, I think his term actually starts on January 1st. But in the state of Ohio, for the sheriff, it's always the first Monday of the new year. So That could be anywhere from January 1st to January 7th, obviously. And this year just happens to be January 6th.
Okay.
So that's how that process works.
So you said first Monday.
Yep.
Is that at midnight, or can it be at 9 in the morning? Or
no, and I'm glad you brought that up too, Neil, because it is at midnight. So on Sunday night, at 11:59 hours in the evening, obviously close to midnight, Sheriff Gray will still be the sheriff, and at the strike of midnight is when I take over. So I take over at 12:01 on Monday morning, January the 6th. And then there's a process there, as we were talking before we got on radio here today. The sheriff is the one that gives all the deputies their power or their arrest authority. So as of midnight, their authority will cease under Sheriff Gray, at which point I'm going to have to swear the deputies in at midnight so that they have authority from that point forward for the next 4 years. So obviously I'll have to be up there at midnight and start swearing the guys and gals in and making sure that they have authority to do their job. So
that is interesting. So as when did you decide that you wanted to be the guy that filled Sheriff Gray's shoes?
So I can specifically remember the conversation. We were sitting in his conference room, and it was in 2011, the very first time a conversation was had.
Oh my.
But it was only who is interested at that point. Because he wanted to, you know, he obviously wanted to run a little bit longer yet, and but he wanted to help get that person prepared. And at that time, Chris Hamburg was still working at the sheriff's office then. Chris had showed some interest, and then when he had an opportunity to leave for a job at the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, he took that, and then we reconvened again later in 11, and at which point I explained to the sheriff that I had an interest in it. And so, you know, that kind of sat like that for, we'd have conversations, once every 6 months or so, which then turned into, like 2016, 2017, we started getting pretty serious about it. And then I got some great opportunities to work in every division at the sheriff's office, which obviously I hope makes me better suited to understand the complete workings of a sheriff's office. Cause there's just more to it than what people realize. I mean, it's just, you see the deputies on the road. That's what the general public sees. Nobody daily sees the 911 dispatchers behind the scenes or, the civil division that takes care of all the, you know, the sex offender registration, the paper service, the CCW permits, all the transports that they have to do, taking inmates to and from court. And then obviously we have the jail division that takes care of the inmates all the time. Got a cooking staff that obviously has to feed the inmates. Sure. So there's a lot of employees behind the scenes that nobody ever sees. And I would say if we were full staffed, we're around 74 employees, and there are 15 road deputies if we're full staff, which we are not right now on the road deputies. But that's the 15 people that the public actually sees. So that tells you how many people are behind the scenes that do other things that, you know, the general public won't see them on a daily basis.
Yeah. You know, I am sure that nobody would have guessed that, you know, only 20% of the employees at the sheriff's office are deputies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you occasionally may, you know, you may see the detectives. I mean, they're in the enforcement division, too. But, you know, unless you're a witness or a victim to a crime, you probably wouldn't see them on a daily basis either. You know, obviously, everybody knows who Sheriff Gray is, and that'll be another employee that the on top of the 15. And like myself, my goal is to be out in the public as much as I can, because I want to know what people think. I want to know what people want from me. I want to know what they expect from us. And part of that is, too, is I do want the ability to explain to them why we can or can't do things. If something can be changed, we're certainly about doing that. But if I can't, I want to be able to explain why the law does or does not allow us to do that. Yeah. You know, so
yeah, it is interesting. You know, I don't think anybody would have guessed that this has really been a 6 to 8 year process.
Yes.
In getting you somewhat prepared for
this. Yeah, I would say the last 6 years have been really serious. And then, you know, I knew Sheriff Gray wanted to run again in 20, and you know, I certainly wanted that to happen. And, you know, so our goal at that point was, let's make sure, you know, we can set ourselves up the best we can, make sure Sheriff Gray gets reelected for what he was going to consider his last term. And then, you know, especially for the last 4 years, he and I and a lot of the other command staff have leaned on him heavily to show us what we needed to do. I really hope that makes us better prepared. You know, I was talking to Neil a little bit before we started here today. You know, in Ohio, every 4 years, they have what they call newly elected sheriff's training. So it's required by law. So in November, when all the new sheriffs are elected, they always set up the first 80 hours of the required 120-hour training. They set up the first 80 hours the first 2 weeks of December every 4 years, because every sheriff is on a ballot. All 88 are on the ballot. Yeah. Every 4 years. Had a lot of retiring sheriffs this year, and I ended up being in a very large class. I've been told that the classes normally run somewhere between 15 and 22 sheriffs each four years.
And that's
four
out
years.
Of 88 counties.
That's out of 88, right. Yeah. And this year we got 31. From what I understand, there was a class in 1960s at one point was 32, but that we may have the second largest class. So there's a lot of us down in Columbus for the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Having the same training. And as you were explaining here about the, you know, the jail and the civil division, not all of these sheriffs were elected that came from within a sheriff's office. Some of them have been worked at a police department. I got one that was a BCI agent. There's another one of my classmates that was a retired trooper. So, you know, the state patrol troopers have a lot of more learning. Yeah. To do, because they've never dealt with a 911 system. They've never dealt with a civil division. They have no knowledge of what the corrections division requires and all the standards in there. So they had a lot more to take in, I guess, at the last couple weeks training. I felt like when I was down in Columbus, when they were talking about things, I felt so much more prepared, because Sheriff Gray and I have been through all this stuff, and he's pointed out these things. So when I went down there, none of this stuff was shocking. Yeah. To me. I did learn, obviously, some things that doesn't pop up every day that we didn't discuss. When I came back, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, but it's not something that we do every day.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm so much further ahead because I came from within inside the office.
Sure. You know. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and kind of get to know Doug Timmerman a little bit better and, you know, what your background is sure. and such. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious, home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price, Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Friends of the Fort Recovery Public Library would like to invite the public to view the Fort Festival of Trees, now through Tuesday, December 31st. Each year, businesses, organizations, and families decorate Christmas trees and wreaths that are displayed at our library. Listening to Christmas music while viewing the trees, visitors are invited to vote for their favorite entry. Votes are then tallied to see which tree will win the People's Choice Award, and the name of that family or organization will be engraved on a plaque that remains at the library. This beloved family tradition is enjoyed by patrons of all ages. Stop by to see the beautiful display at the Fort Festival of Trees now through December 31st during regular library hours.
We're back inside. Talking to Sheriff-to-be, Mr. Doug Timmerman, and Doug takes over on January 6th for Mr. Sheriff Jeff Gray, and Jeff has been sheriff for how long?
24 years.
24 years.
Yeah. My goodness. Law enforcement for 44 and 24 as sheriff.
So. Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah. So you've got some pretty good shoes to fill.
I do, yes.
So, let's start with kind of a getting to know Doug.
Sure.
Okay. So, born, raised, school?
Yeah. So, born Coldwater Hospital, but grew up out at by St. Anthony. I grew up with my mom and dad, Jim and Janie, out there on 219 between Wabash and 49. I've got six siblings. My sister Connie is a year older than me, and I got a brother Jeff, a year and a half younger than me. Then behind them is my sister Karen and Kathy and Krista. And then many years later, my youngest brother Adam came along. So, and everybody, all my siblings are married. Most of them have kids, and even some of the grandkids have had kids already. So,
it's incredible,
mom and dad are great grandparents already. But so I stayed living with mom and dad until I met my wife Jill, who was from the Montezuma Chickasaw area. Yeah. She went to Salina Schools and. When we got married, we bought a house in town, and so we've got two daughters, Samantha and Sierra, and so my oldest daughter Samantha just moved out this year in February, and she's 26, and my youngest daughter Sierra, 23, still at home with us. So, yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, so I graduated from Coldwater High School in 1991, and then I went straight to the police academy after that, and. Got hired on at the sheriff's office when then Sheriff Carl Eicher was there, and then Jeff Gray would have been his chief deputy at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, so Jeff was part of the hiring process for me when I got hired. And, you know, that's where it all started, and I've been there ever since. So,
you knew pretty early on that law enforcement was your vocation.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to give my high school principal at the time the credit for this. I had a desire to want to be in the military. So, you know, when I was a freshman, sophomore in high school, I was really considering whether I wanted to head to the military. And so our high school principal had this thing where you had to attend four things a year. That was either like, you know, you had to have one or two college visits, or, you know, or meet with a recruiter from one of the military branches. And well, when I met with a couple recruiters, I had had an eye injury when I was younger, and that eye injury was going to prevent me from getting into the military. So, you know, obviously in full transparency, I was just not the type of person that wanted to run off to college.
Yeah.
And then our high school principal had contacted me one day and said, hey, you know, the Mercer County Sheriff's Office has an Explorer program, and one of their people are going to be down here this week. I would suggest you go down and meet with them, and that way you can check off one of your boxes of meeting, you know, one of those four obligations that year. So, I went down to that, listened to them. Sounded interesting, and I ended up joining the Mercer County Sheriff's Office Explorer program when I was 16, and started riding with the deputies. And the very first time I went in to ride, there was no doubt in my mind that that's what I wanted to do the rest of my career. So that's where it kind of all started for me. So,
and is that program?
It is. We kind of changed the name of it. Now we call it the Junior Deputy Program. So, yeah, we have, I tell you, I think off the top of my head, how many of our current employees were actually members of the Junior Deputy Program or the Explorer Program back in the day. There's got to be at least, well, off the top of my head, I can think of about 8 or 9 of them right now. But that program is still in existence. So, yeah. I mean, it gives them some insight on what they're going to get into.
Sure.
You know, so.
Sure. You know, if all you do is watch cop shows on TV, I'm sure that differs a little bit.
It does. From it does.
Mr. County Sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that some of those cop shows have a little bit of legitimacy to them, but you know, especially the crime shows, you know, where they got what, four commercials, and an hour later the crime solved, and that's just not reality, you know. So, but yeah, you know, going back to, I give a lot of that credit to my principal, and there was a teacher that I had, Denny Reithman was my ag teacher at Coldwater High School. He kind of pushed me into public speaking when I was a freshman. I was, believe it or not, was actually really quiet back in the day. Most people probably wouldn't believe that now, but he kind of pushed me into that public speaking thing. And that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, because you get past that fear of being out in front of people in large crowds and talking to them. And I'm not, I mean, I still get nervous today when you're out in front of a big crowd, but not like it was back. And so Denny really kind of pushed me towards that. And just one of those teachers that, he's hard not to like. He's just a good guy, and I think he's probably been very effective in a lot of young guys and gals, you know, lives over the years. That was a great program to be part of. And then the other one was, and Mrs. Gear was, and you guys will probably understand this, was my typing instructor in school, which we actually had typewriters, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not computers. So that is the two things that I do the most today, is public speaking and typing. So I'm glad I took those two classes. So
that, you know, and I'm sure that there are, you know, that 90% of the kids that are in high school right now and are sitting through a class thinking, what in the hell am I doing this
exactly for? Exactly. I would have, I took typing because I needed another half a credit or something, and I'm like, I'll never do this. And that's 80% of my day is typing notes, typing reports, you know, typing letters. That's what I do the most of. You know, everything we do at work is document. And, you know, and so, yeah, I'm glad I took that one. And, you know, I think we all wish we could go back in time and redo some things and maybe pay a little bit more attention to certain things, because you never know that we're going to use it in life like that. But I'm glad I did that part. Yeah. So
you'd mentioned, so let's run through a day in the life to a certain extent.
Okay.
Okay. So as a sheriff in Mercer County, what is your day consist of?
Well, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, Jack, this is probably one of the reasons why I like this job so much is you don't know what every day is going to bring. You know, every day is completely different. And all those best laid plans that you have by the end of the day, you're probably not doing anything that you woke up thinking you would do that day because the day itself dictates what's going to happen. Sure. But so as far as the sheriff goes, you know, there are so many staff members that take care of certain divisions. So, you know, I envision and I know for a fact how many times I've been on the phone with Sheriff Gray, but, you know, the sheriff does get called a lot on the weekends, the holidays, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that happens a lot because, you know, there could be, you know, we have an injury accident or we, you know, we have a deputy may have gotten hurt. You know, we got, you know, people that are in pursuit that, you know, coming from another county through our county. There are a lot of our things that our deputies are required to report to the sheriff. And like, for instance, if we have an inmate in jail, gets sick and goes to the hospital, they're required to report that to the sheriff that their inmate's being taken out of the jail and taken to the hospital. You know, if something serious has happened in dispatch, whether it's weather related, you know, we're getting into that season now where, you know, we're going to have the levels of snow emergencies and the sheriff stays on top of that. I realistically would bet that out of the 7 days a week, he's probably getting woke up at some point, at least five of those days. And sometimes those calls are 4 or 5 times throughout the evening because I've called him myself many times like that. So, you know, you have a lot of the after hour calls. Then, you know, he comes to work. We have a staff meeting every morning, and the staff meeting consists of the 911 director, the chief and captain of the enforcement division, the captain and lieutenant of the jail division, the captain of the civil division, the IT guy, our financial person. And we all basically sit around a table taking our turn, explaining to the sheriff what's happened since the last time we met. This happened last night. Give him a report. So that way he's completely caught up to speed on all the divisions. And then he gives us directives as far as, okay, well, I want to see this happen. I need this done. We need to change a policy on that. Somebody needs to follow up with this person on that. So we all kind of get our marching orders for the day. And then, you know, the sheriff's required to submit a lot of reports monthly. So I know he, you know, gets provided those things. He's got requirements about checking on inmates in the jail and signing a book back there, you know, attesting to all the amount of meals that are served back there. A lot of reports that are required by the state. And then, you know, there's somebody in his office all the time. It's just constantly, hey, Sheriff, I need to talk to you about this. I need to talk to you about that. So more of a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we're no better than anybody else. Sometimes we got some personnel issues that we got to deal with, and those are time-consuming. But, you know, I will say this. As much as we can complain about the personnel issues, we are very blessed in the area that we're in with the quality employees that we have. But the sheriff has set a very high standard of what he expects from our employees, and we make sure we follow that. So, you know, some of the things are very minor. Some of them are, you know, can be a little bit more than that. So,
sure.
You know, so there's a lot of interaction with the employees throughout the day on his part. So,
well, and that's not even including the various community things that you may be called out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I off the top of my head, I can think of like, you know, he's got like, you know, no less than 6 parades a year. You know, the minute I got elected on November the 5th, within that first week, I had at least 7 to 8 phone calls setting up places that wanted me to come speak at their event.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to guess during the busy season that he's probably 3 to 5 times a week he's got a speaking engagement somewhere, which is normally after hours. You know, it's either going to be a Saturday or in the evening at 7 o'clock. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, this guy, you know, probably puts in more hours than any of the other employees. And then when he leaves, doesn't mean he's done for the day. He's got to go home and do something else yet that night, you know. And, you know, some of that may just be going to a township trustee meeting or you know, attending whatever other events that are going on. So,
yeah.
But, you know, in this county, it's easy to be engaged with the people because they're fun to be around. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, So you had talked a lot of what you brought up had to do with leadership.
Yes.
Okay. So as like you prepare to take over, and I'm sure you've been preparing to take over. When like it comes to leadership skills, who is it that you kind of want to emulate, or have there been leadership books that you read that kind of?
So one of the big things, I mean, I've been to a lot of supervisor training over the years as I got promoted, but one of the big things I just took within the last year and a half to 2 years is the thing called an FBI LEADA. They call it the trilogy. So it's a Supervisor Leadership Institute, the Command Leadership Institute, and then the Executive Leadership Institute. So it's a three-part series. They're a week long each. And then when you get those three parts done, you consider to graduating from this Leadership Institute that the FBI puts on. That is probably some of the best training I think I've ever had. I mean, they give you, I mean, we had to take a test in a supervisor leadership thing, and he basically answered these questions, and it told you what type of leader you are without us even knowing that, which then they go, you know, you're like an N or a P, and then you would have to flip to that page and read it, and it was like reading your own biography. Nails you right now.
Guilty.
It's like,
okay.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that stuff. It gives you a lot of the do's and the don'ts on dealing with employees and, you know, the citizens. And, you know, early on, I kept telling Sheriff Gray, you know, I'm going to do what you did. And, you know, he quickly went, you can't, you know, my personality and your personality are not the same. And that's okay. It doesn't mean either one of us is wrong, but you know, I'm going into this with, I just got to be my own person. I got to be, I'm Doug, you get what you see. And, you know, so I guess if you're to your true self, then it's not like you got to work at it, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, I learned a lot of good things from the training classes, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to be me. And, you know, with that is full transparency, full honesty. I'm very proud of the guys and gals we work with, and you know, I'm gonna brag about that. But in the same breath, when we make a mistake, we're gonna own it, and we're gonna move on. So I think that's what our citizens expect from us.
So, I'll save that question until later. Yeah,
till the break's over.
I tell you what, we're gonna take a little break, and we're gonna come back and talk about the crystal ball to a certain extent, and what you see as the biggest challenges that you'll face as you take over. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
It's time for year-end savings at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Enjoy 15% off all Case IH filters, keeping your equipment running smoothly into the new year. Don't wait until open house to save big. Stock up now and ensure your farm is ready for every challenge ahead. But hurry, these savings won't last. This is a limited time offer. Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery, your local Case IH dealer, where savings and service come together. Case IH filters, keeping you on track for success.
Everybody has that hard-to-buy-for person on their Christmas list, and Miracle Lanes has just what you need to solve that problem for you. Miracle Lanes gift cards. You can get them from $5 up to $500, and they can be used for anything they sell at Miracle Lanes. Bowling equipment and games, food, drinks, anything they offer at Miracle Lanes. Don't spend your time looking online or in the stores for something they don't want. Just head out to Miracle Lanes and get your Christmas shopping done fast and easy, and they'll love you for it. Miracle Lanes gift cards, the best Christmas gift you can give them. Everybody has that hard-to-buy-for person on their Christmas list, and Miracle Lanes has just what you need to solve that problem for you. Miracle Lanes gift cards. You can get them from $5 up to $500, and they can be used for anything they sell at Miracle Lanes. Bowling equipment and games, food, drinks, anything they offer at Miracle Lanes. Don't spend your time looking online or in the stores for something they don't want. Just head out to Miracle Lanes and get your Christmas shopping done fast and easy, and they'll love you for it. Miracle Lanes gift cards, the best Christmas gift you can give them. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, our Lady Indians will travel up to Parkway, and there will be no JV game, and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the varsity game that will start at 6 o'clock, and the huddle video will be available for that game. On Friday, the boys will host Parkway, and that'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with our audio on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. Saturday, the boys will host Tony Overton's Ansonia Tigers with an early start time with the JV game starting at 4:30. That will be a WPGW simulcast with their audio on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available for that game. Get out to all the games this weekend to help cheer on our Indians teams, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Sheriff, to be Sheriff in Waiting, I guess.
Yeah.
Mr. Doug Timmerman. And Doug, we talked beforehand. As like the calendar flips to, you know, 2025 and beyond, what do you see from a sheriff's department standpoint as being the biggest challenges that you'll face?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing for me is I want to spend the first several, you know, maybe you call it the 100 days or the first 3 months or whatever. I just want to get my feet wet, get to the point where I start feeling comfortable. You know, Sheriff Gray has pointed out that I could always give him a phone call if I got myself caught in a position I didn't know what to do. But, you know, at some point, your comfort level has a lot to do with that. But at least from what I see on the horizon right now, some of the main challenges, which is probably not earth shattering to anybody because any local business has this problem, it seems like, is the recruiting and hiring process. It's terribly hard to hire nowadays. You know, when I started at the sheriff's office, I remember being one of 34 applicants for one position. We've got 5-6 openings in corrections right now with maybe 2 applicants, you know. So, yeah. You know, we gotta find a way to get in touch with these, you know, young guys and gals, and maybe get somebody to be, you know, that teacher that got me pointed in the right direction. You know, find that for them. And I think a lot of that is just probably being in the school system. And, you know, just like we talked earlier today, 20% of the our office is the people that everybody sees. They don't realize all the other jobs that are behind the scenes, you know. Yeah. And we probably need to do a better job of explaining that to them. You know, the other thing is we got to continue to have a problem with drugs. You know, we have got to find ways to continue to keep fighting that crime. You know what I mean? And
are there any new drugs that are being introduced?
No, but there's some that are, you know, recircling now. You know, we had the whole heroin epidemic there for the longest time, and then we went back to meth, and meth is still a big thing. And, you know, talking to the drug guys here recently, they're running back into the cocaine again. However, all of this stuff still seems to have some type of fentanyl base to it, you know, laced in there. So fentanyl continues to be a very dangerous, you know, drug that is mixed with a lot of these other ones, you know. So
as the legalization of marijuana, I mean, what would you do? You go into towns and like actively ask towns to not put in vendors?
So, you know, when that law passed, you know, a lot of villages and I think even a lot of the townships quickly passed their own resolutions or their forbidding dispensaries to be in their jurisdictions. that they did on their own accord. I mean, we didn't, you know, push or encourage that one, but it seemed like at, you know, when one did it, they followed suit pretty quick.
It does.
I know the law's passed and it's my job to enforce the law and follow the law. I will tell you to this day, I don't like it that passed at all. I think it's just a gateway to another drug. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, the people have spoken in Ohio, so, you know, it's legal. But that doesn't mean we have to put a dispensary in downtown Fort Recovery if they don't want one here either. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, some of the other states that have legalized this stuff in the past, you have seen the negative things that if you talk to their law enforcement, there's a lot more negative to it than you think, you know. Yeah. So,
and we kind of went on a little sidetrack. So as you look into other aspects of what you see as being challenges in 2025.
Yeah.
And beyond.
At least in the foreseeable future, one of the things that I've noticed is the driving under suspension and no operator's license has, we're running into a great deal of that. And then, you know, along with that, if you don't have a driver's license, more often than not, you don't have any insurance that goes with that either. I know it's not the crime of the century. The problem that I have with it is, even if it's a fender bender or a serious accident or somebody's, you know, hurt or even a fatality, when the other party doesn't have a license or doesn't have insurance, I think that's detrimental to the victim in that, you know. Yeah. And it just doesn't seem fair. You know, they have changed the driving under suspension laws considerably. I mean, when I was working the road, if you were driving under suspension, you got arrested and taken to jail.
Yeah.
And there are, I think the last, to my knowledge, there was like 12 different types of suspensions that you could drive under. And again, when I was on the road, you just go to jail for that. Now, most of those suspensions that you drive under are not arrestable offense. Now, you got to go see the judge, but you know, it doesn't mean you can stop driving. So one of the things is I noticed is, you know, the repeats of that. So I have, you know, most people down here know Prosecutor Erin Miner. I've had spoke to her a little bit, and my intentions are to meet with her to get some legal advice because I want to make sure I'm correct in doing this. But my thought was we're going to start towing these vehicles the minute we get them stopped. And at least for the night, they're going to be off the road and they won't drive again after we drive away from them. You know, cause we get people to come give them, you know, come pick you up and get a ride to leave. Here's your traffic ticket, go to court, and you go by that traffic stop an hour later, their car's gone. Well, who picked it up, you know, and they're back to driving again. So, my thought was, is, you know, maybe we should consider start towing those things and, you know, have a financial, sanction to that, you know, and for liability purposes, just keep them off the road.
Yeah, plus it buys time.
Absolutely, for the court to get their chance to deal with it.
Yeah.
So from a standpoint of immigration, okay, you know, it seems like Mercer County has been, you know, at least less affected, but you know, certainly not immune from.
That's correct. Yeah.
So you, what do you see? Has that been an issue? Is it growing?
Crime-wise, no. I mean, when I, you know, if there's any immigrant, I can't say that the immigrants are creating a great deal of crime for Mercer County. I wouldn't say that at all. You know, is there driving under suspension? Absolutely, because they don't have a driver's license, you know, and it's probably hard for them to get one.
If they're not documented, then
that's correct.
Almost impossible.
It's almost impossible, yeah, unless the ID is fake to begin with, you know. Yeah. So, ironically, and you know, I know the office of sheriff is a politically elected office. I understand that, and you know, I want to be impartial on everything, but when President Trump was in office the first time, if we had a crime committed by an undocumented person, we normally never even made a phone call. We would get contacted by, you know, ICE or whatever, and they would say, hold that person, we're coming down to get them. And I'm like, it was a driving under suspension.
Yeah.
We're still coming to get them. I was in the jail at that time, so I saw that. And then there was the transition, you know, to President Biden, and you know, we've had some serious crimes. With one person in particular, I can remember was a sex offense, and you know, we contacted them. Weren't you going to come in? And the answer was no. So, I mean, the politics does play a part in that, depending on, you know, who's in office. And I think we all know by watching the national news what, you know, President Trump's approach. Yeah, absolutely, what his approach is going to be. You know, so I guess for me, right now, it's a sit back and wait and see what happens. I guess if I had to base it on the first time that he was president, I'm going to know what to expect from him. You know, but you listen to Mr. Homan, Tom Homan on there, and, you know, I'm certainly not going to stand in his way of doing his job. You know what I mean? So,
yes. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So let's talk about relationship.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, so when, like, it comes to the relationship between the sheriff and the prosecutor,
mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the connection there?
Well, that's probably the one office that maybe the commissioners as well. But the one office is that we deal with the most is probably the prosecutor's office, because we, you know, we have Erin and or her staff review a lot of our cases. It's always been very professional. When Andy Henders was the prosecutor, I had a chance to work with him. It was good. When Matt Fox was the prosecutor, probably spent, you know, because I was a detective then, so most of my time at being a detective, Mr. Fox was the prosecutor. We had a great working relationship. It was always professional. We always had, you know, Mr. Fox had always given me the opportunity to voice my opinion. But at the end of the day, if it was his decision to make, he made it. If it was our decision to make, we made it. Sometimes those conversations were spirited, but they always remain professional. And I do think it's very important to have a great relationship with your prosecutor. We are a small enough county that we don't have a prosecutor on call all, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I will tell you that Erin Miner and Matt Fox never not answered the phone when we needed them. You know, they will come in, they will help with search warrants if we need them. You know, weekends, holidays, it doesn't matter. They're always available for, you know, legal advice for us, because the prosecutor is the legal advisor for the sheriff's office, you know, and so it's very important that we have a great relationship. But we also understand, you know, this is my lane to be in, and that is your lane to be in, and we can discuss those. But at the end of the day, the person's decision to make it, you can respect the other one and move on. And then, you know, as far as the commissioners go, that's got to be a good working relationship, too. I mean, it's going to be my job to, you know, try to express to the commissioners what I feel is needed, whether that's equipment wise or, you know, we need more staff members or whatever. It's my job to explain that to them so that they can make a good sound decision on it. And of course, it's their job to be very frugal with the taxpayers' money. And, you know, because they do point out to you, you know, what your budget's going to be. And, sure. And you know, but even though they allocate that money to the, you know, to the sheriff's office for us to spend, that doesn't mean I should be unfrugal with it either. You know, we want the good equipment and we want good employees, but you do have to respect the fact that there's a lot of hardworking people in Mercer County that their money's going towards paying our wages and buying our equipment. So, yes, we want the best. Who doesn't want a pay raise every year? I get that, but you know, that needs to be respected. So, sure.
How about judges? Which of the judges would the sheriff's office deal with the most?
Well, as far as the number of cases, probably Judge Kathy Spielman, because the misdemeanor cases end up in her court. And obviously we make more misdemeanor arrests than we do felonies. And, you know, thank God for that. We wouldn't want all these felonies out there, right? There's enough of them to begin with. But, you know, so the most cases go in front of Judge Spielman. We do have, you know, a lot of juvenile cases, which would go in front of Judge Matt Gilmore. And then, you know, obviously the serious felony cases go in front of Judge Matt Fox now. here's the thing, though. We do not have direct communication with them. We don't have daily conversations with them, simply because that's completely inappropriate.
Okay.
Let's just say, for instance, Jack, that I arrested you for whatever degree of felony. It would be inappropriate for me to go talk to Judge Fox and go, hey, do you know what, when this and this happened when I was dealing with Jack, that he's got to be able to listen to the case and not be one-sided on what he's heard. So that would be my job to explain the case well enough to Erin Minor for her to go prosecute it and her to explain it to the court when that time comes. So we don't have direct. Now, do we say hi in passing? Sure, we do. Do you see him at campaign events or fundraisers? Sure, you do. You just never cross that line of having that inappropriate conversation about any open case on anything. Ask about family members, perfectly fine. Don't be talking about somebody's case. You know,
very good.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
About how are you and Sheriff Gray different?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac Automatic Standby Generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
The holidays are here, and that means parties, and Wayne IGA has everything you'll need. Your favorite beers and wines, chips and dips, and everything you'll need to make your favorite dish. Plus their famous cheese balls, and of course their party trays. Cookie trays, sandwich trays, veggie trays, fruit trays, and everybody's favorite, their meat and cheese trays. Be sure to order ahead at 375-2865. And don't forget about their ready-to-go chicken. Just stop by and grab some and head to the party. And if you want a larger quantity, call them a few days ahead of time and they'll have it ready to go for you when you get there. They can make your party planning easy. Just call Wayne IGA at 375-2865 and order your party trays and chicken. Here is a message from Mercer County Engineer Jim Wiekert regarding winter driving safety and drivers' interactions with snowplow crews. If you have to travel during hazardous conditions, use common sense and adjust your speed to surrounding road conditions and slow down. When following a snowplow, be vigilant and stay back far enough so you can be seen in the snowplow driver's mirrors. All snowplows have starting and stopping points on their routes, and at times unexpected backing by the trucks may be necessary. They regularly turn around at intersections, and they also may clear the radius at that intersection, which requires several forward and reverse operations in and around the intersections. When approaching a snowplow coming toward you on a typical two-lane road, give some room to those large trucks and pull over as far to the right as you safely can. The tip of the blade is usually at or around the center line of the pavement, enabling them to clear the maximum amount of pavement possible. When plowing your driveways, be aware of vehicles on the roadway that may be in your path and do not leave snow on the road. If you're plowing the snow across the road, make sure it is all off the road. Stay abreast of the road conditions and advisories issued by local authorities and announced in the media. Abandoned vehicles on and along the roadways can either slow or obstruct snowplows from getting county roads open and are the biggest problem that prevents crews from doing a safe and efficient job of clearing the roadways, slowing or obstructing the snowplows from getting our county roads open. Please drive safely this winter.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Sheriff-to-be, Mr. Doug Timmerman, who's going to be taking office here on January 6th, 2025. And Doug, change is hard. Yeah. You know? So, and when you think about those 75 employees yes. that are in the sheriff's office, so they're going to have a new boss in a couple of weeks, okay?
Sure.
So how is Doug Timmerman going to be different than Jeff Gray?
Well, I think Jack, we talked about this a little bit earlier where I told, you know, the sheriff a while back that I'm going to do exactly what you're going to do or that you have done. And maybe some of that is a little bit true when we you know, with the policies and the way we handle things. But, you know, the sheriff quickly pointed out that our personalities are not the same. So over our, especially the last 9 months to a year, I've quickly realized I can't do things the way he did because it's not comfortable for me or that's just not who I am. It certainly worked out great for him.
Yep.
Sheriff Gray was very much a hands-on person. I guess you could say he directed the ship with knowing everything that was going on and made a lot of the decisions from top to bottom. I guess for my approach, at least I'm envisioning in my head that I certainly need to know everything that's going on, and I need to direct the office just the same as he did. But I'm going to put a lot of this responsibility on the person in charge of that division. And I want those people to report to me, to let me know what's going on, give them some direction. But I have this desire, and maybe I'm kidding myself, but I have a desire that I want to go out and be in the public a lot. And I don't know if that's going to work or not, but yeah. that's where my head takes me. Okay. I got this desire to want to go sit down at the schools at lunchtime, elementary, high school, whatever, just sit down with the kids, let them know, you know, there's no reason to be nervous around law enforcement officers. I want to walk uptown and maybe have a cup of coffee with people. And sometimes just sitting down and talking to them, you can find out a lot of information. And I want them to tell us you're doing a good job or you're not doing a good job. And, you know, so Sheriff Gray had a unique way of getting that information. Me personally, I don't know that people know me as well, Sheriff Gray. So my goal was get my feet wet in that first maybe 3 months, 100-day period or whatever, and then start going out and about in the community. Maybe, you know, I can't be everywhere every night, but I love sports. You know, we were talking just off the air here. I used to referee high school basketball a little bit and, you know, maybe wasn't very good at that, but I sure did enjoy being around the kids and the staff members at the schools and all the athletic directors. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe go to some events and stuff like that. So yeah. Maybe that's where I'm going to be a little bit different. But, you know, you used the word change, and I was just down, like I said, at that training the first couple of weeks here in December. And one of the things the older sheriffs were teaching us is all the employees hate it that everything stays the same. And they hate it when there's change. So yeah. You're just kind of caught, you know. And I don't know if hate's the right word, but, you know, people are nervous. You know, they're getting a new boss. They don't sure. know what to expect. I hope they all know me well enough to know that I'm going to be upfront and honest with them. And, you know, I'm certainly asking them to place their trust in me. And I'm going to make sure that I trust what they're doing, you know.
Well, and it's got to help that you've been part of that organization for 30 years.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't know if we talked about this earlier, but, you know, out of my co-workers or my co-sheriffs that are coming into office that were at that training together, I guess you could call them my classmates down there, not all of them are walking into an office where they came from with inside. And I mean, there's, you know, they may have beat the sitting sheriff and there's some hostility there. You know, so I'm glad we don't have that here. I think that gives us a leg up and, you know, we certainly owe it to our citizens to give them, you know, and which is exactly why this transition's awesome, because who deserves it? It's the people we work for that deserve it. Yeah. And our employees need to know, Yeah, we got jobs to do, and this is a political, you know, politically elected position, but, you know, we should be doing it for the citizens and for our employees. Yeah. I mean, it's not about the sheriff themselves, it's about the office of sheriff, you know, sure. and all those employees are part of that, you know.
So is there a, like a sheriff, and I say motto, but is like there like a, you know, sheriff vision statement that
oh like a Oh, you mean, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, at least my one that I came up for my campaign was to serve and protect with respect. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, Sheriff Gray, for his 24 years, was, you know, courteous, common sense, law enforcement. You know, carrying courteous common sense. We always called it the three C's. Mine is to serve and protect with respect. And out of that, that word respect is monumental to me. I think our employees need to be extremely respectful to the people we work for, and I ask that the community give us that in return, and then all parties win, right? I mean, if we're respectful, and human beings should just naturally do that to each other to begin with. I mean, not to say we're not going to have our differences, but nobody should be disrespecting the next person.
Sure.
I really think, you know, I talked to Neil before we came on here, you know, some of our younger guys and gals we've hired here recently are leaps and bounds ahead of maybe where I was back in the day when I started. I mean, they're very respectful young guys and gals, and I'm very proud of that. I want to make sure we continue that, you know. And, you know, our citizens have given us that back tenfold over the years. Yeah. Even when we make mistakes, that they're willing to forgive us when we make mistakes, because it's certainly not something we set out to intend to do something wrong, you know. So,
you know, one of the other kind of terms when you talk about the respect part is from an accountability standpoint. How have the deputies been assessed, I guess, or you know?
Yeah, you mean how are we holding them accountable?
Know how they do out in the field?
That's a great question. So everybody's got a supervisor. The supervisor evaluates them. Well, especially when they're younger, they get evaluated a lot more. And once they're there for a while, their evaluation comes up once a year. But we also have this thing that we do once a month called a quality assurance program, okay? So for our road deputies, we will pull a traffic stop where they issued a ticket. We'll pull a traffic stop where they issued a warning. We'll pull a traffic crash report that they handled, and then we'll pull another report where it could be a domestic violence report, assault report, a vandalism report, or something. And then those supervisors are going to review that. And if they pulled you over and gave you a speeding ticket, you're going to get a phone call, and you're going to be asked, how did the deputy treat you? Was there any foul language used? Was he dressed appropriately? Did you understand everything? Did they make it clear to you what was going on? They'll do the same thing with the person that they maybe issued a written warning to. They're going to call the people that were involved in a traffic crash and go, you know, was the deputy, you know, did he do the right things? Did you, you know, did they get there in a timely manner? All those things. And then we got another sergeant that works midnights that's going to pull their body camera footage and cruiser camera footage, two of them a month at least, okay? And they're going to review that. They're going to review it for a couple reasons. Was the deputy polite? And was there any safety issues that we saw? And that's to benefit the deputy. Like, you know, you could point it out to him and go, hey, you know, you shouldn't be turning your back on this when this happens, and those kind of things. So we call that the quality assurance program. There's a very similar thing we do with the dispatchers, where their supervisor will call people that they took 911 calls from or whatever the case may be and ask them how, you know, did the dispatcher treat you, you know, respectfully? Did they answer your questions? Did they get you help quickly? And then the corrections officers, their quality assurance is calling some of the inmates that were released and asking them if they were, you know, treated, you know, humanely while they were in there.
So how many current inmates are in the Mercer County Jail?
I think when I looked this morning, there was 54 this morning. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which is a lot lower than before COVID days. You know, we used to have a lot more in there before COVID, but that number's starting to creep back up now. Yeah. So,
and how many of those are drug related?
And this is a rough guess. I'm going to say at least, if not more than half. Yeah, more than half, probably, you know, and we currently still are housing some inmates for Dark County. You know, Dark County's got a smaller jail than we do. And so I don't know exactly what the Dark County inmates are in there on. That's why I'm
okay.
Yeah. But this morning, yesterday we had 12 Dark County inmates. This morning we had 8. So
you said drug related. Is that use, sales, combination of both?
Combination of both. And even some of that could be, you know, you've got a drug charge, but you also got a breaking and entering or a theft charge. And, you know, we all probably know why they're stealing or breaking in is to get money to support their habit, too. You know, yeah. So there's a lot of spinoff with that drug problem, you know. So,
you know, it seems like almost every week there is a car, truck, trailer that is getting broken into and is having. Are those generally local people that do those things?
So we had a couple of camper trailers stolen in northern Dark County, which is close to, you know, a mile and a half south of our county the other day. We suspect that those are probably out of the area. I talked to their sheriff the last couple of weeks while he and I were in training together, and we think they're from out of the area. Most of the local stuffs of the break-ins are probably a local person.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, there was a little bit of a ring going on. I want to say several months ago, there was three pickup trucks stolen from St. Henry in one night. You know, we strongly suspect that those people that stole that were from the Dayton area. Yeah. There was a few more in Salina, you know, a week or two later. Again, you know, that ring probably came from the Dayton area that we suspect. Knock on wood, we hopefully that problem's been slowed down or stopped at this point. But no, I would say if you have a break-in or the thefts, it's generally somebody from our area. So
I tell you what, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back and wrap things up with Sheriff-to-be Mr. Doug Timmerman right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, this is Trevor Winning, owner of Top Ranch LLC, former Hastings Automotive. I want to thank the community for the warm welcome back to town. I plan to keep the Hastings quality of service along with their previous employees. With the cold weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking the fluids, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all the lights for your worry-free winter travels. Give Top Ranch LLC a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Friends of the Fort Recovery Public Library would like to invite the public to view the Fort Festival of Trees, now through Tuesday, December 31st. Each year, businesses, organizations, and families decorate Christmas trees and wreaths that are displayed at our library. Listening to Christmas music while viewing the trees, visitors are invited to vote for their favorite entry. Votes are then tallied to see which tree will win the People's Choice Award, and the name of that family or organization will be engraved on a plaque that remains at the library. This beloved family tradition is enjoyed by patrons of all ages. Stop by to see the beautiful display at the Fort Festival of Trees now through December 31st during regular library hours.
We're back. Neil, that was a quick hour.
Yes, it was. Yeah. We got a lot of information.
We did get a lot of information. But, Doug, I tell you what, every show that I have ever done, I've learned a lot. And, again, you have taught me a lot about the inner workings of the Sheriff's Department. I wish you
fantastic things for the next 4 years.
Well, I appreciate that. And like I said earlier, I think it's very important that our citizens know what's going on. I mean, obviously, there's some things, you know, pending cases that we can't talk about. But I want the people in this community to know, you know, our office is there to help them and to serve them. And, you know, communication is the biggest way to do that. So I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come down here. And I would be glad to come down any other time to discuss things. And maybe it's on a case that we're working on at the time, or just to give you some general knowledge updates of things we've got going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about our people. And we keep our community safe. It makes it a better place to live for all of us, you know, and that's my goal. So I want to thank you guys for letting me down here. So,
but I tell you what, I am going to put you on the spot here.
Sure.
Okay. You know, I think when people out there think about, you know, law enforcement and their role and stuff, that the top things that are on their mind is how to make sure that I'm safe in my own home, mm-hmm. and that my kids are safe.
Sure.
So as sheriff, what tips would you give any parent or grandparent out there as far as those two things?
Well, as far as a parent or grandparent goes, you want to protect your kids. Be very, very cautious about what your kids are doing on their phone. I think I can't explain that enough. I could sit here for hours and tell you the things that we've had problems with on misuse of the phones. And I will say this: you are their parent. You have the right to know everything that they're doing. You know, I've often told my kids, I know this is your bedroom, but it's my house, and your bedroom just happens to be in my house. So if I want to look in your bedroom, I'm going to look in your bedroom. And so I encourage the parents to be extremely involved in your kids' lives and know exactly what they're doing on those phones. Those are very problematic for us. And as far as the, you know, the adults that are homeowners and vehicle owners, lock your stuff up. You know, the days of us leaving the keys in the car, those days are over. As much as I hate to say it, you know, you used to be able to park your car up at the park, leave the windows down and keys in the car, and probably leave your wallet in the, you know, and nobody would touch it. And you can't do that anymore. So lock your stuff up. We as law enforcement officers do like the technology that people are using with security cameras and stuff like that. That's been beneficial to us. So, you know, if you feel like you want a survey or something done of your house, we can have people come out and go, I would trim your bushes back from your windows a little bit, or I would put more lights in this area, whatever that case may be. You know, there is no question that we won't certainly try to help them with. But
I'd heard at one time that you're supposed to not have any valuables in your car, but don't lock it up, because that way they won't
break the window. In. Yeah. Obviously, if the stuff's not within sight, you know, if they look in the window and don't see it in there's a good chance they're not gonna. But we'd actually got a person in jail now that broke into several cars. And when I say break into, we didn't actually bust anything up. The cars were left unlocked. Okay. And you know, he entered the cars, and I think that gentleman's still in our jail, and he was caught on a lot of security footage in the Rockford area and St. Henry area and even Salina. So that's how we caught him. But yeah, he didn't break anything out. He was looking for the change in the middle console or a cell phone or whatever. And then you could see him going around town just yanking on car doors, and he would walk by the ones that were locked. So I would strongly encourage people to lock their cars. Yeah.
So. Fantastic. Neil, am I missing anything?
I don't think so, Jack.
Well, gentlemen, to you and to your listeners, I wish you guys all Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I guess when that's over with, then we'll
have a new sheriff in
there
town.
There you go. Literally, right? Yeah. So thank you guys, and Merry Christmas to everybody, and I appreciate you letting me come down here. So.
And Doug, I'll tell you what, you can consider this an open invitation.
Awesome.
You know, I feel while we're getting a new sheriff, we're not really getting a new guy.
Yeah. You're going to get a lot more of the same than you used to. Yeah. And that worked for us in this county, right? So we don't have to change what's not broken. So
And you've been around everybody and for a long time. And I think there's going to be a natural, comfortable transition. And I wish you nothing but fantastic things.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. And I wish you guys all the health, too. So I would be more than happy to come down as time goes on and keep you updated on things. So
fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
So for Neil Spencer, Doug Timmerman, and Jack Stogler, thanks for joining. Everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I think this is our last show until...
Correct. Yeah, until next year.
Until next year. So everybody take care. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard their